Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12. You can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletin. I'll be reading from Luke 12, the verses 35 to 48, the parable of the faithful servant, Luke 12, verses 35 to 48. Again, there's an outline in your bulletin, and you can find the scripture reading on the reverse side of the outline of the sermon. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word, beginning at Luke 12, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Luke 12, verses 35 to 48. And keep in mind the outline in your bulletin as well that will assist you as you listen to God's word proclaimed today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, the parable before us this morning in our text is sometimes called the parable of the watchful servant. And the reason it is sometimes called that is because people read this parable as if Jesus is telling us to be ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And as you look at the first part of the parable and the verses, it would seem that all the traditional themes that are taught elsewhere in Scripture about being ready for the Lord's second coming are there. In verse 35, we're told to stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning as if the Lord could come any time, and being ready to go with him and have your lamp burning for his arrival. In verse 36, it describes a master and those who are waiting for the master to come home from the wedding feast, to have the door open to him at once when he comes and knocks, and being ready when the Lord returns to receive him. In verse 40, we're given a warning to be ready for the Son of Man, who is coming, the text tells us, at an hour we do not expect. All of these verses leading us to conclude, or others to conclude, that the verses of this parable are describing what will take place at the second coming of Christ. And they interpret the parable to say, we as believers are to be watchful for that at all times. But if that is your interpretation of the parable that you hold to, somehow you have to figure out what to do with verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes, truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." As you look at that verse and you ask yourself, well, is that really a description of what's going to take place on the day of the Lord at the end of the world? We know that on the day of the Lord, the dead will be raised. They'll be judged to eternal death and eternal life, as we saw in the psalm this morning and as we sang in the song that followed. And that means that if this is describing that particular day, then verse 37 then is the only verse and passage in Scripture that tells us something different that would take place on that day. That on the day the Lord returns, according to this verse, he's going to dress himself for service and have all his people recline at a table and serve them on that day. Now that doesn't sound like what's going to happen on the day of the Lord's second coming. That sounds like what is taking place in the book of Luke at Jesus' first coming. And there's the key to our text today. The parable should not be titled "The Faithful Watchman," as some do, but I have titled this sermon and the parable, "The Parable of the Faithful Servant." Because the first part of our text, verses 35 to 40, is describing the faithful servant who is ready at the Lord's first coming and for the gospel. The second part of our text, verses 42 to 43, is describing the proper response of the faithful servant to what he knows about Jesus' first coming and the salvation that has been given, and also an improper response of an unfaithful servant to the gospel that has come. So let's start this morning, first of all, as our text does, with a description of the faithful servant who is ready for Christ. You can see, as our text describes it, that the faithful servant is ready for the gospel and ready for Christ. He is awake at the Lord's coming. In verse 35, we read, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." Now, what does that mean? Again, does it mean that we must, as believers, all be ready for the Lord at his second coming? Well, they would say yes. That is the interpretation we are to take. But we must remember that being dressed for action is something that the Lord tells us to be ready to do at any time. We must remember that we must keep our lamps burning and ready for the Lord and an understanding of the gospel at any time. Not just at his second coming, which is what the scriptures tell us in other places. But in Luke 12, Jesus is telling the disciples and us something different. He is telling his disciples to stay dressed for action to serve him, to keep their lamps burning, to be prepared to serve the Lord at any time, day or night, to be ready for action in the present, not just the future. Well, what are they to be ready for? Verse 36. "And to be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." Again, someone might say, according to that other interpretation, there you have it. It's describing Jesus' second coming. Jesus is telling us that the master, who is the master, the Lord Jesus, is going to come back. The Lord Jesus, who ascended into heaven and is now taking part in the wedding feast in heaven, he's going to return from there, and he's calling the disciples and all of us to be ready for him, the Lord Jesus who died on the cross, who rose from the grave, who ascended into heaven and celebrates the wedding feast. Someday he'll return. Again, All of that's true, and all of that is told to us in other parts of Scripture. But we also know that the book of Revelation tells us about an eternal wedding feast in the heavenly realms. We know that in the book of Revelation, it describes a particular passage about the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In time and space history, we understand Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave and his ascension into heaven happening 2,000 years ago. But from God's perspective, this has happened in the eternal realm forever. And so, looking again at verse 36, we have to recognize that there's more here than just the second coming. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the eternal wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes back and knocks. And that's what the disciples and the people of Jesus' day are to do at his first coming. That isn't something that is to be described for the future. That is something that Jesus is telling his listeners and the readers of this gospel to do and understand even now. That's what Jesus has been doing in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus came to earth, and there were people waiting for the Master to return. We saw it throughout the gospel. They knew and understand the promises of the Old Testament. They knew and understood the fullness of the Passover lamb that was to come from the book of Exodus. They knew and understand the fullness of the temple sacrifices that were to come. People like Simon at the temple, who knew the Old Testament and understood the Old Testament and were waiting for the Master and were filled with joy at the coming of the Savior that had come. They were waiting for the Son of God to come down from heaven and bring that eternal salvation through his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. And people like Simon were ready to open the door to him once he came and he knocked. Think of how many people in the Gospel of Luke thus far who saw and heard the Lord Jesus and invited him into their house. He has dined with more people in the Gospel of Luke than any other gospel. And when you understand it that way, look again at verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. You see, the reason why we don't read elsewhere in Scripture what is taking place in that verse concerning the Lord Jesus who has come, the reason we don't read about that concerning his second coming is because it doesn't happen at Jesus' second coming. That verse is describing what Jesus had come to do at his first coming, and even more in the Gospel of Luke, at his first coming until he goes to the Lord's table and teaches his disciples at the Lord's Supper. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the master of his servants, came down from heaven to earth and dressed himself for service. At times in the Gospel of Luke, as a servant, he even washed their feet. As they reclined at the table, and as he taught them and instructed them, we will see even more in this gospel as he dines with them at the Lord's Supper, where they recline at the table with him and serve him. Do you understand in this parable just how astonishing and shocking this verse is? When a master returns home to his servants after being away at a wedding, you would expect him to come home and that the servants would get to work and serve him. The master is tired from his journey. The master has been away at a wedding. They are servants in charge of the household. But now the master comes home and the master does something astonishing and shocking. The master serves his servants. He cooks for them. He serves them at the table. And in verse 38, Jesus goes on to explain why it is so important for us and for the disciples to be awake and to watch. You see, no one was expecting a savior like this. The religious authorities and the Jews, they weren't expecting a savior who would come down from heaven and serve them. They didn't understand the Old Testament. They were expecting a savior who would come and rule them and lead their armies into battle and to rule the world. That is what they wanted. They were not ready for the salvation that would come down from heaven unto them. They were not watchful, and they rejected him. And that's why Jesus tells us in verse 38 of our text, if he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants who are awake, who understand the Old Testament, to know this enough about him, to know that the Savior would come as a servant, that the Savior would come and serve them, that the Savior would come and die on the cross and pay for their sins and rise from the dead and bring them to eternal life, not on this earth, but in heaven. That is what they failed to understand. That is what they were not ready for. That's what they were not watching for at his coming. And in this parable, Jesus points out to his disciples about the Jews and their rejection of Christ and what they failed to see and know about him. But then as the Lord goes on in verse 39, the Lord gives them an additional promise. He tells the faithful disciples, the faithful servant, that Christ will not leave you. I will not leave you. Look at this verse. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Some interpreters say, well, this is a separate parable, but it's not. In this verse, the Lord is summarizing the first parable. Look what he tells us again in verse 39. Like a master of the house, who knows at what hour the thief is coming and would never leave it to be broken into. You see, a master of the house would never leave his house if he knows that a thief is coming, especially if he knows at what hour the thief is coming. That's the time specifically he would be home to protect his house. Masters would never abandon the house knowing a thief is coming at a particular time. Jesus is saying, that is the way it is with my first coming. I've come to earth. I came to serve. I came to defeat Satan and the temptation to sin. In Luke chapter 11, verse 20, the Lord said that by the finger of God, he is casting out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He has come to die on the cross and to pay for the sins of his people, and he's not going to leave his house, his kingdom, unprotected so that a thief, so that Satan can break in and destroy it. He knows when the thief is coming. He's not going to abandon his people or the kingdom that he has come to bring and accomplish by his death and resurrection on the cross. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to him. You are safe and secure with Him forever. No harm can come to you because you belong to Him and His kingdom forevermore. And that's what He tells us in this verse. The master of the house knows what hour the thief is coming. He knows the thief. He knows the thief's ways. And he will not leave his house to be broken into. If you know Christ, if you belong to His kingdom, the Master who has ascended into heaven will continue to protect you and keep you in that house forevermore. And that's why he tells them in verse 40, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. They do not expect him, you see, because they didn't expect a Savior who would come to serve them and die on the cross for their sins. They had in mind the Son of Man that would come from Daniel chapter 9. In the prophecy of Daniel 9, it's a prophecy about the Son of Man and his second coming, coming on the clouds of heaven. But the Son of Man, as Jesus declares himself, over and over in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the Son of Man came a first time. And they were not expecting the Son of Man to come as he did, as a servant who would serve them and die on the cross and pay for their sins. And because they did not see themselves as Jews in need of a Savior to pay for their sins, or that kind of Savior, they were not ready as servants for the Son of Man who came at an hour and in a way they did not expect. And so Peter asks a question, verse 41. Lord, are you telling this parable for us, that is the disciples, or for all? And Jesus' answer in verse 42 is an indication that it's not just the disciples, but for all. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Jesus' answer is that this is everyone who belongs to the kingdom. You see, the first part of our passage is describing the fact that the Lord Jesus has come down from heaven. The Master has returned to the eternal realm where the messianic eternal banquet is being served, and he calls upon people to be ready to receive him. But in the second half of the text, following Peter's question, he describes what a faithful servant who belongs to the kingdom does. What is his response to the coming of the gospel and the good news of salvation in Christ? Well, number one, the faithful servant is blessed. Look how it is described in verses 42 to 43. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. There are faithful and wise managers of the gospel over the kingdom of God and his children. And yes, that is the leadership of the church, pastors, elders, deacons, the disciples, but it also includes the members of the church that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and know and understand the gospel. This is a call for all, for husbands who oversee their families, for parents who oversee their children, for those who go to work on a daily basis as believers in Christ and live out their life for His glory each and every day. These are the faithful servants that the Lord is describing. They have been brought into the kingdom. And as members of that kingdom and the portion of food that is distributed, they demonstrate that they understand it, that they live for Christ, and that he is their Lord and Savior. And the Lord describes the blessing for them in verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Blessed is that servant in this life that when the Lord returns, who is faithfully carrying out his responsibilities before the Lord. He's living his life after Christ's first coming as a believer, as someone who knows Christ. His life has been changed by Christ. He doesn't pervert the gospel by saying to himself, the Lord is long in coming. So he's not going to be for a while, and I can go off and live my life in a sinful way, and yet someday when he comes back, I'll get serious. The faithful servant doesn't deliberately disobey the gospel, even though he knows better. Well, I don't have to get ready yet. I know what the gospel says, but I'm not going to live it right now. He doesn't ignore the gospel or hear it proclaimed and walks away from it. What the faithful servant of Christ does is he responds to the gospel. He seeks to live the gospel out in his life. He knows what Christ has accomplished at his first coming, and he wants to serve him faithfully until the Lord comes again. Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. That servant that is living out the gospel in his life. Truly, Jesus said, I say to you, he will set over him many possessions. That means that servant will be blessed. And one aspect of that blessing is the present life. He will be blessed by the grace and salvation of Christ. Another aspect of that blessing is, yes, when the Lord comes again. For in the first part of our text, it specifically is describing the first coming of the Lord. And now as the Lord responds to Peter's question and describes the servant's response, he speaks about a blessing which is now and a blessing which is future when the Lord comes again. But what happens if a servant does not take on that responsibility? The master has come and the gospel has been proclaimed and he's heard it. What about the unfaithful servant? Jesus goes on to describe that unfaithful servant in verse 45. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour when he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. For the servant who knows the gospel and the truth, but he does things in such a way as if the Lord is not coming, the one who deliberately perverts the truth, I can take advantage of others for a time. I can pervert the truth and twist it to my own sin, using it to take advantage of others, eating and drinking and getting drunk. The Lord will put him, Jesus said, with the unfaithful, the non-believers in the present day and on the day the Lord returns. Verse 47, to the servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will. This is a servant who knows the gospel, but deliberately disobeys. He isn't going to follow it. This is the servant who does nothing with what he knows and will receive, Jesus said, a severe beating. But verse 48, to the one who did not know because of ignorance, but did what deserved a beating, he will receive a light beating. When these blessings in the first part of our text take place, It will be blessings in this life and blessings when the Lord comes back. In the same way as Jesus is describing the judgments for the servants, he is describing judgments which may take place in this life and when the Lord comes back. We know that those who deliberately pervert the gospel will suffer consequences in this world and in the world to come. We know that those who deliberately disobey the gospel will suffer consequences and, as Jesus describes, severe beatings, perhaps in this life and when the Lord returns. And we know those who are ignorant of the gospel, they too, by their rebellion against God, will suffer consequences in this world and when the Lord returns. The Bible does speak of different degrees of judgments when the Lord comes back. All three of these unfaithful servant descriptions are descriptions that Jesus gives of those who have been unfaithful to him. And those who have been unfaithful to him, who have rejected the gospel, the good news of Jesus' first coming and the salvation that has come, may suffer different degrees of judgment based on what they know. Look how the Lord describes it in verse 48. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. Jesus concludes saying, the more you know, the more you are responsible for. The more you know of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ and reject it, the worse it is for you. The parable of the faithful servant is not about being watchful for Jesus at his second coming. But the first half of this text is describing the parable of the faithful servant who is about to know and understand what Jesus did in his first coming and being ready to receive it and believe it. To know that by his death and resurrection on the cross, their sins are paid for. That by his ascension into heaven and his resurrection from the dead, they too will someday resurrect to everlasting life. The second part of our text is describing what is given more. More that is required of those who know him and who serve him in their life. They can be blessed presently and eternally, but those who have been given more and pervert, disobey, ignore, they will be given judgment presently and eternally. The parable of the faithful servant calls us to know and believe in the salvation that Christ has accomplished at his first coming and has been revealed to us, and then to live in such a way that Christ is glorified in your life. Because it's given to you, you don't pervert it, you don't disobey it, you don't ignore it. But the faithful servant is responsible with what he has been given and what he knows. And because the people around him see in him the blessings of heaven and salvation that has come, they see Christ living in him. They see he is blessed in that salvation. And they live their lives in glory and honor unto him. This is what Jesus is calling the disciples and all of you to know and be ready for. This is the response that Jesus calls those who know the gospel and were ready to live out before him. May your life be one of blessing and glory and praise unto Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this parable and how it puts before us what it means to know the gospel. We're thankful that your Spirit has worked in us, that through the preaching of the gospel, we have come to know Jesus Christ and salvation in him. We're thankful, Lord, that we understand that he came to serve us, that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, that he has been resurrected from the grave, that we too know that he has dined with us as he dined with his disciples, leaving us a sign and seal in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But Lord, we also see in our text the Lord's warning, the warning to those who reject the gospel, who have come to know it through preaching and through the reading of the scriptures, but have deliberately rejected it. We recognize, Lord, the consequences for those who have disobeyed the gospel, and even those who, out of ignorance, don't know it and have lived sinful and wicked lives. We pray, Lord, that your word would always be at work in our hearts, that, Lord, your Spirit would continue to illuminate our hearts and minds to understand the glorious blessing that has come through the coming of our Savior. That, Lord, we may experience the blessing of salvation in you, both in this life and long, Lord, for those eternal blessings that will come at our Lord's return. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with more than so many in this world have ever had. We pray that you would enable us to be responsible with what has been given, that the glory of Christ may shine forth each day in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.